On this second Sunday of Lent, our readings take a bit of a turn. Last week, we heard Jesus confront the devil and his false promises of power through control, accumulation, and spectacle. Now we jump ahead to Luke 13, where the Pharisees warn Jesus that Herod Antipas, who murdered John, is looking to kill him too. Jesus is not just running afoul of religious leaders here. He's also running afoul of secular powers. They too would like to rid themselves of this troublesome itinerant preacher and healer for proclaiming the imminent arrival of God's realm. These secular powers, Herod and the empire that supports him, brook no opposition. They will not tolerate challenges to their power, even by God himself. Just as in the reading last week, the problem is idolatry, putting something or someone in God's place that is not God. And this problem is well familiar to the Apostle Paul. I've modified our reading today a bit from what the lectionary has, but right before our reading, Paul issues a warning, and it's a warning against those whom he calls enemies of the cross of Christ. Now, these enemies have their minds set exclusively on this world. Their appetites and passions dominate them. The cross to them seems like nonsense. They can't understand how God's realm could possibly come by way of the cross. They want domination, wealth, and comfort. And at Philippi, this isn't surprising. Philippi was an official Roman colony. That meant that its citizens enjoyed privileges and wealth on par with native Roman cities. A lot of folks were pretty comfortable there. No wonder Paul is concerned with these enemies so focused on their privilege, power, and wealth. In contrast, Paul reminds the church at Philippi that their true homeland and their true citizenship are in heaven, in God's realm. Now, you learn in pastor school not to talk too much about Greek, because it can be a little off-putting sometimes. But this one's too good, so I'm going to break that rule for you all. The word citizenship is polituma, from the root Greek word polis, which means city. Polis has a lot of English words derived from it. You might be able to tell where this is going. Policy. Police and politics, all derived from that word. And if we think of politics generally as affairs of the city, then the Christian is to be first and foremost concerned with the affairs of God's realm, with the affairs of God's city, because that city is our true home. The city of God is where we finally belong, not the city of the world. The problem for us is that the affairs of the worldly city can seem so ultimate. They can seem so final. They really can suck all the air out of the room. We can so easily put our leaders, our political views, and our ideologies on a quasi-divine level. Doesn't matter which side we're on. And the information we get often gleefully reinforces these sins against the first commandment. We get entrenched, everything becomes a life or death situation. And we get more and more anxious. We get more and more frightened, and we get more and more enraged. All this anxiety, fear, and rage distracts us from our true calling to be people of the good news. But the people of God have been in a similar place before. The church at Philippi was dealing with its own conflicts and anxieties. Paul mentions two female leaders of the church, Euodia and Syntyche. They're well known to Paul. They've labored alongside him in the work of the gospel. Yet, something has come between them. We don't know what. We don't know the nature of the conflict, but it is serious enough to draw Paul's attention. Perhaps it's so serious that the members of the church are taking sides, leading to rupture in the community. In situations like that, partisans on either side can be so sure that they're right that they make an idol out of being right. Others may simply be afraid of the fallout from this conflict. In the early days, there's no social safety net. There's nothing like that in the Roman Empire, maybe a grain dole that people could get every once in a while. But the church was a mutual aid society as well. And this conflict is getting to the point where it threatens the unity of the church and its continued good work. So Paul urged the members to be the same mind as in Christ, to emulate Christ's humility. And he also urges these two leaders to do the same, to remember first and foremost that they're citizens of the city of God, not the colony of Philippi, not the Roman Empire, and not even the world. There are different values associated with God's realm. And those values often run afoul of those of the world. In Philippians, Paul sings of some of them. He quotes an ancient hymn as embodied by Jesus Christ. Those values include humility, not pride. Other-focused, not self-enriching. Obedience to God over any human authority. And we can infer some others: mercy, forgiveness, love of God and humanity, and a refusal to inflict violence to get one's way. Jesus lived out these values as the model citizen of God's realm, but not just for himself, not just as a moral example, but as a way to break the demonic hold that the world has on us, to break our addictions to violence, to pride, to rage, and to fear, and to establish the kingdom of God within every human heart, within your hearts and within mine. Jesus absorbs the violence and the sin of the world so that we can die to the world ourselves. And that death happens at our baptism. We drown to the world at this font or at one like it. Sure, the old covetous, wrenching, grasping, anxious, frightened, wrathful creature in us is stubborn and comes out sometimes. But baptism is its mortal wound. God's word, Jesus Christ, is present whenever we pour water over the head of an infant, child, or adult to make a new citizen of God's heavenly realm. And the Holy Spirit is given to the baptized, to you and to me, to help us live in that new way of life, which is defined by mercy, love, obedience to God, and to God's shalom, to God's wholeness, peace, and well-being. We need not be anxious. We need not be scared. Paul writes two of the most beautiful verses of Scripture here. And these verses have become my guiding light ever since Roma chose them for her funeral last fall. Do not be anxious about anything. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We don't need to be anxious, because whatever happens in this world, God will lead us through it. God gives us strength to respond well, to respond courageously, to respond in faith. And we know who we are, people of God gathered here today. At the end of the day, our destiny isn't as residents of Douglas County or the state of Minnesota or even of the United States of America. We don't belong to the donkey or the elephant, to earthly politics, or to any kind of ideology. We belong to Jesus Christ, our Lord, as citizens of heaven. Take that good news with you wherever you go. Amen.